Hi class, welcome to week 10. I thought that I would mix it up a little bit and do some recording for you in thinking about our work for this week. I'm particularly interested in your thoughts about how administrators can and should provide support for those teaching teams who are working in a co-teaching model, and what their responsibilities are in terms of developing a school culture of collaboration and inclusive practices. Friend talks a lot about that in Chapter 8 and talks about the various types of support that co-teachers need in making sure that, that their co-teaching is not only successful, but is part of the mindset and the culture of the school. And so Friend talks a lot about collaborative school culture in this chapter and a commitment to inclusive practices. And you kind of have to think about what that looks like in the school that you're currently in. I know that in the schools that are in our district, co-teaching looks different depending on what age level you're teaching and what school you're in. And it has a lot to do with how committed the building administrator leadership, the leadership in the building, is to co-teaching. And do they see co-teaching as something that is beneficial for all students? So Friend talks about this too as well. You'll see oftentimes, and we were just having this conversation in the high school actually before we went out on break, but we were talking about how if there are two teachers in the classroom in our what we call collaborative classes, which are the co-taught classes, the guidance counselors who are responsible for scheduling students will often schedule all of the students who have any sort of issues on a 504 plan or a disability, or they just don't do their work or any of those things, and put all of those students into the collaborative class. And so what you end up with is a classroom that is a high number, so sometimes 28 to 30 students, but two teachers. And we all know that when that happens and it's not a heterogeneous group of students of varying abilities and needs, you end up with more of a special education focus in the classroom rather than access to the general education classroom and what other students are able to experience when there is a wide range of abilities in a class, where they can learn from the classroom discussions, where they can learn from group activities, because they're paired with students who have different abilities, and everyone can learn from one another. And so what we've found at the high school is, so we have these heavy classes that have two teachers, and then another section of the very same class will be a class, say, of American Democracy. There's one co-taught class which has 30 kids in it, and another section that's not identified as the co-taught class that has 9 students in it that are heterogeneously grouped. And so we end up having a mismatch of students and in a higher ratio of students with needs in one particular classroom. And so Friend talks a lot about that in this chapter, about thinking specifically about and planning for students individually and as a whole. We want to be careful, of course, that we're not predetermining any student's placement in any type of class without an IEP discussion, right? We're not going to predetermine that, oh, that student needs the co-taught class, when we haven't had that kind of conversation at the IEP table. So we need to be very mindful of that. And so in thinking about how that works in classrooms, I know in my previous experience as a resource teacher, having been the special educator working in a co-taught model, that, you know, we struggled sometimes to have teachers buy into the process, if you will, and work specifically with the special educator to really include them in the very important decisions of how the curriculum was going to be designed, how we were going to have access for students of all different abilities. And it wasn't until my later years as a special educator that we started having common planning time. And I think back about this and think about how, you know, our building principal was very supportive of inclusive practices, but didn't provide opportunities for co-teachers to really have the kind of common planning time that general educators had. So if general educators are meeting each week, my schedule for special education was that I was meeting with them once a month. And so we need to think about what message that sends to our teaching teams and in general, if we're not being respectful of everyone's planning time and everyone's part in the process. And so I think that kind of talks about, it really speaks to the commitment to inclusive practices and the messages that sometimes unintentionally administrators and even teachers send out into your school culture about what's important and what isn't. And, you know, you'll see in your schools and certainly as teachers develop more of an inclusive mindset, you'll see schools that completely embrace inclusion. And you see evidence of that when you walk in the building. There'll be lots of visual reminders of working together, the importance of collaboration. You'll see lots of student work representing varying abilities. And I know that in my experience in working in many, many schools, walking into a building, you get a sense of the culture of that building right away. And that's really important to keep in mind, not only for your classroom, but in your schools as well. Friend also talks about staffing for co-teaching and many of the obstacles that we often need to think about as administrators, but also when we're teachers who are really gung-ho about inclusion and really want to go far and develop our co-teaching models and our methodologies. We often have to think about the number of boots we have on the ground, and we often don't have the number of special educators that we need. And we have to really start becoming very creative about how we plan for service delivery in the inclusive classroom, how we coordinate that. So if you do have, a co-teaching situation, say in a fifth grade classroom, and many of the students receive speech and language services or English language learner services, then how do we spread those services in such a way that they don't overlap and that you don't have too many people in the room at once and you can get the most out of the co-teaching environment as possible? And then, of course, as you know, we've talked a lot about paraprofessionals in this mix and how we use their skill set and how we build their training and professional development in order to be those individuals who are assisting in very meaningful ways for students. So not only the social emotional piece for students and being there for them emotionally, but also how paraprofessionals can really assist teaching team in making the most of a co-teaching situation. So we'll be continuing to discuss some other pieces of program development and implementation and evaluation of your co-teaching partnership. You'll see that I've included a protocol for co-teachers to think about. And I think that you will find that as you move forward in your own practice, you'll come across some obstacles, many obstacles actually, that if you stop and pause a little bit, take a step back and reflect, there's usually a solution to it. So it may be that, our general educators who have not had the kind of training that we've had as special educators are hesitant in working with a variety of student needs. And sometimes we have to keep that in the back of our mind in every interaction that we have, because oftentimes it comes from a place of not knowing. And so your job as special educators really is to be the cheerleader and the supporter of all things inclusion and co-teaching and being of positive mindset in working through those things. It's so important for you to be doing that work. And you will see that as you continue to move forward in your career. We will also be talking a little bit more too about reflecting on your practice, reflecting on your part in the co-teaching relationship or in the inclusive classroom and school. How do you model those kinds of collaborative processes? How do you model the kind of interactions that you want to see all teachers have with students? How do you model your lessons to be multisensory and to reach multiple levels of learners? And how do you model universal design for instruction? How do you present your IEPs, and how do you include all stakeholders? You had practice with that in your transition, your inclusion IEPs, and certainly in your transition to inclusion plans, and thinking about a student and getting input from everyone around the table, and how you include everyone in order to make the best possible plans for students. And you're all doing a really nice job with that. So we will continue to talk a little bit more through this week 10, and there will be more to follow.